This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Drippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello, welcome in, listeners, now WAAF Boston's Rock Station, also Bayou 95.7 in New Orleans, and our friends at Rock 103 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hello, Fort Bragg. Big show for you today. Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, categories beer and Looney Tunes as the Men's Room returns. And today is the day we do our random question. Question 844-999-OLA.
Random. Miles, we got some response from one of the questions you previously asked. What is just the most memorable name?
Yeah.
This on behalf of a guy over in London, I guess. He was just voted head of his political party, and his name is Richard Brain.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Got a ton of votes.
Yeah, more than double the next closest.
You know why? He's knowledgeable.
Yes, indeed. Says I had a coworker named Dick Frost. Went to school with a guy named Pat Scott Gass. Say it again quickly, you'll understand. I worked with someone with the last name Slakakis. It's Greek, apparently. Dick Storkridge, and I used to know someone named...
That might have to be my porn name. Because it sounds like, you know, Strokeridge sounds, it's got some, you know what I mean?
Hey, it's a family name.
Strokeridge.
Dick Strokeridge and a guy named Woody Pfister.
Okay. All right.
Some of the memorable names.
Good times.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
Chris, welcome to the program. Random question, Okay, let's go with this one. When did you cheat? When did you cheat and what did you cheat at?
Oh, man, I think high school football is the one I cheated in. I know Ted's going to be mad at me for that one. I played for the Lake Stevens Vikings as a lineman, and I used to do this little trick where I'd unbuckle my helmet right when no one was looking, so when I got sacked real hard, my helmet would come off and the other team would get a penalty for that.
For what, hands to the face?
No, I would get sacked in the chest or, you know, trying to guard the quarterback. And my helmet would fly off, so the guy who hit me would get a penalty, or the team would get a 10, 15-yard penalty on that one, basically making us win the game quicker. I got found out by my coach, and he kicked me off the football team after throwing my helmet through a piece of drywall.
Wow. Did you learn something that day?
Yeah, I learned it's better to play by the rules. It was a real scary thing for me. I've never seen someone other than my dad break something of mine.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, don't get caught. Yeah, two separate messages there.
I was going to say, don't you have a better technique for holding or something like that? Keeping hands inside?
I mean, honestly, no.
All right, I'm not making fun of you, but, like, were you that bad that you needed this advantage?
No, I was a really good player. I did wrestling the year before, and I blew out my meniscus in my right knee. And just playing fairly for me, it got real bad. I kept getting injured, and my knee started hurting more. So I discovered a disadvantage, like kind of like a handicap I could play and get away with it.
Okay. I was thinking like a chop block. They would just drop the knee like, oh, and then they fly over the top of it.
Dude, you know what my
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, this isn't illegal. When you play defensive line.
When you say it like that, it's not illegal.
Right, so you play defensive line. There's one where you, like, kind of tug on a guy's jersey and then you rip through, right?
Sure.
So you're going to, like, try to get up under his arm and kind of just jam your hand in it. But I love the rip because if you missed, you just punched him real hard in the stomach.
Or you punched him in the chin.
Yeah.
That's another move.
It's not illegal.
Yeah. Right, it wasn't illegal, but it's part of the game.
Reason we ask, when did you cheat? All athletes looking for that angle, even bowlers. Except for Jean Perez Farr got caught. The Puerto Rico native had his men's team double gold medal stripped at the 2019 Pan American Games in Lima, Peru for testing positive for a banned drug. The result meant the United States duo of Jacob Butteroff and Nick Pate assumed the top medal. And Colombia moved into second, and Mexico won the bronze. The procedures used to take and analyze the samples are being carried out accordingly by the Pan American Games anti-doping rules. That's approved by the World Anti-Doping Agency, blah, 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 blah. He tested basically positive for a masking agent for steroids.
For bowling?
I mean, yes, that is correct.
What advantage do you think you get if you're up on steroids in bowling?
I don't know.
No offense. When you watch professional bowlers, like they're not super athletes. They're not in the worst shape, but you don't need steroids. It's bowling.
No.
Well, apparently it's banned.
Most people do it drunk.
I know.
Exactly.
Like my advantage is three
Who
beers.
Sober.
I know.
Half those guys probably don't. I mean, when they're not in a tournament.
Right, the rest of the time.
Yeah.
The last time I was with a group of people who didn't drink at all, they were all recovering addicts.
Right, that's the only time, or children. Those are the only two times I'm around people that don't drink booze.
Every time you go bowling,
especially at a bowling alley. Miles, it seems that a few more strange names.
Oh, I see.
You've jarred people's memories. It says, I used to work at a local ski resort. A family bought season passes for their whole family. Mom, dad, and three kids. Everyone had normal names. Brian, Darren, etc. The 8-year-old girl was named Monstrosity. What's in the actual hell?
She must have been a monstrosity.
I did a landscaping job for a very wealthy man. His name was Richard Rash. He went by Dick. I have relatives with the last name T. The patriarch was named literally the name J, J-A-Y-T. His initials are the same as his name. And this one is my favorite. There's a lady that I work with sometimes. Her name is Pretty Bush. Honestly, she married into it. So,
if your name
is Pretty.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Hello, Drew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Drew, here we go. Your random question. What is the sound that makes you crazy? What is the sound that makes you crazy?
Well, I got to say the biggest sound that makes me crazy is I work in a shop, and I would have to say air blowing off cars. That drives me absolutely insane.
Air blowing off of cars?
Yeah, like the air guns.
All right.
Stop. Any ear protection, that absolutely drives me over the wall.
So I'm taking off lug nuts, putting them on. You mean that kind of a sound?
Yes.
And I would think you hear this pretty much all day, every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So anything with a compressor in it?
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah. So what do you do to drown the sound? I mean, I hate the sound of Miles' voice. And frankly, we're in two separate studios in different cities.
It's hard.
I don't even have to see his ugly face. But, like, what do you do to deal, if it's a sound you hate that you hear all the time, every day, what do you do?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have a passion for cars, and it's just, you know, I guess at the end of the day, what motivates you is the money to do it. So
let's say you cash your paycheck, go to work.
All right, what kind of car do you drive then?
I have three of them. Currently, I drive a Bronco, and I have a 67 Volkswagen Bug that I just finished restoring.
A 67 Volkswagen what?
Bug.
Oh, Bug. Okay. And what do you think of the new Bronco?
It looks cool. I don't know. I don't know if I'd get one, but...
Okay, all right, well...
By the way, I want you to know something. Every time you drive that Bug, every time you drive by people, someone got punched in the shoulder. Just remember that.
Yep.
I was actually kind of worried about that when they stopped production down in Mexico of the Bug. They took it off the assembly.
You're worried about what now?
Well, could you... Now, do the new Beatles, since they've been retired, are they part of the Punch Bug game?
See, there's always all these mixed up answers on that, and
you know
I do
I'm
not
saying?
Know.
Because now it's been discontinued. So now this is no longer a new model. It's a thing of the past. So
I would think, this is just me, and I don't want to get into the Punch Bug world, because it is not a game I play, but I'm familiar with the rules. Most of the old schoolers, if you will, the OGs of the Punch Bug world are like, no, dude, if it's the new Beatle, or the
but
latest.
It's not new anymore.
They said
it's,
no.
It's been retired.
But what I'm saying is, now that it has been retired, I would say, if I'm arbitrating this, right, I would say, you know what, you have to include them now. There's still fewer of those on the road than most other cars, and they no longer are being produced.
Castle and I used to play that game for years. I have to bring it back. The reason we ask the sound that makes you crazy, a man has revealed he suffers from such a hatred of chewing that he has estranged himself from relatives over fears he might fly into a rage. Daryl Murphy is 41 years old. He's ended relationships because of his noise, the noise that his partners make, whatever that is, while eating or when clearing their throat. He even said he has left dates and almost come to blows with colleagues for clicking pens.
Daryl diagnosed himself with misophonia.
He diagnosed himself.
A condition that makes people irritable around ordinary human sounds. He says he's learning to manage his condition, but wants more people to be aware of it. He said, I thought I was crazy for many years. Little noises would make me fly into a rage. I will say this. What is the most irritating noise to you?
To me,
drives you crazy.
It's hands down. I've said it before. There's nothing you can do about it. It's purely innocent. It is the dog cleaning itself. Could you're doing anything else, and it's just, to me, this sound is just the worst sound.
Okay. Ted, you...
I cannot take it. Like, adults, I yell at dogs, man. And it's
adults
bad.
Doing baby voice.
Oh, that's
to animals or to babies?
No. That's fine. No. You can do it to children and dogs. I'm saying when you meet an adult who talks like that all the time.
But what is this? I see it with pets and kids.
I know, but like, give us an example.
I'm trying to think.
Okay, do they have a baby voice or are they doing
a
baby voice?
I'll ask you a question.
Any adult female still has a baby voice like that. I think they're doing it. I think generally I can look at them and go, this is serious, but something happened in your childhood.
You want to be baby voice, I'll ask you a question. Hey, would you like me to get you a beer or a shot when I go to the bar?
I'm trying to think.
Come on, Ted. Baby voices. Channel your baby voice.
No, I'm okay. I'll just take a white claw.
I mean, that's how it sounds.
Okay.
Well, I mean, like, we have worked with some people that their voices were different than maybe you expected.
But I knew somebody that was like 50 and she talked like a baby. So then I was like, what is with the baby voice?
Did you ask her?
No. I asked the person I knew who knew this person.
And?
That's basically the same thing. Something had traumatically happened, and now they talk in baby voice.
One of our old bosses, like receptionist, right? To get to his office, you had to go through the receptionist. Turns out she was a mean, mean old woman, but I had never met her before. And I heard her talking to other coworkers, and she had what you'd call the baby voice, Ted. So I kind of chuckled because I thought she was making fun of someone. And I remember, like, all the conversation stopped, and these three women just turned, and they're staring at me. And that's when it occurred to me, like, oh, that's her talking voice. I had no idea.
Sound,
my bad.
Sound that drives me nuts the most is the smoke detector. It's almost like the 9-volt battery goes, is he asleep yet?
Battery check?
Is it the middle of the night? I'm going to die right now and start beeping, and he'll never be able to find me. Because the problem with that noise is...
I'm one of
now
eight.
Now I have to be proactive and get up. Eep. So if it wasn't enough, the noise is annoying. It's the middle of the night. I can't see. Eep. I can't figure out where it's coming from. Oh, no, I need to go buy a 9-volt battery. I don't have any.
And it lasts just long enough where you convince yourself, like, all right, it's done.
Random question, 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Random question. Get in there. 844-999-OLA.
Random.
Miles, you had a question about what is the most annoying sound in the world to you? What sound do you hate? And a few people chime in here. It says nail clipping in the office. The perpetrator should be shot. Love, Cougar Ben. The sound that I absolutely hate is that squealing noise in the song Jump Around. Took me a second, but it's that weird little note they play, if you follow me. Anyway, guy can't take the sound. The sound that I absolutely hate, teeth on a fork is the worst thing for me. I'll stab my own child for doing it. Wine talking is the worst sound. Imagine every Kardashian talking. Those are people that speak without breathing.
I thought it meant they were drunk on wine.
No, wine with an H, W-H-I-N-E.
I was like, at least wine. Yeah. Drunks are drunk.
Yeah, you understand. You can catch up. But Miles, you'll appreciate this. When you said the sound you hate the most personally is that smoke detector, the battery is low, mm-hmm. because it never happens during the day. It's always, 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's just that meep. And as you go to every smoke detector, you can't figure out which one. So this person says, look, the other night at 2 a.m., a smoke detector in my house started beeping from a dead battery. I ripped 4 smoke detectors out, and the beep was coming from none of them. I was out of culprits, storming around in a blind rage, until I found a carbon monoxide detector.
Oh, that's an important one.
Right. But they don't differentiate,
no,
right?
You don't know if it's a full-blown...
meep. But then your carbon monoxide detector also does meep. It could at least do it like a... like anything to let
sure,
you know.
Sure.
Meep. Oh, hang on. A few more coming in. Someone's trying to correct me. They say it's not punch bug, it's slug bug.
Whatever the game, you want to call the game.
Right. Thank you for that. I don't want to get too messy with them, but like, really, man, do you know the game I'm talking about? You can call it slug bug. I grew up calling it punch bug. Maybe they're different times. I don't know. Hello, Brady. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. All right, Brady, let's stick with the subject at hand. What happened when the batteries died? What happened when the batteries died?
She doesn't have a whole lot of fun.
Okay, there you go.
That's
short and sweet to the point, huh?
Pretty much.
All right.
All right. Can understand that.
Yeah. I don't have any toys that require remote batteries.
Remote controls.
Yeah.
Right? Just for like your TV, stuff
that's,
like that.
Yep.
Because you never really know. Like, their version of the beep is you just struck. Like, it will eventually work, but you're not quite what's wrong. Having children,
I was going to say, between the ages of 2 and 7 or 8 years old, man, those are the battery years if you have kids.
And it is amazing how many batteries you go. You know, as an adult, you just use batteries. The only time you really use batteries are for things that help you achieve things. Like I said, your remote control, smoke detector. That's about it, right? But now that there's kids in the picture... 85% of the toys take batteries. And look, when I was growing up, if you needed new batteries in anything, which you always did, because back then everything took like 12D batteries, you could take the case off the back and you change your own batteries. Well, now, if batteries go dead, you need a screwdriver, but not just a standard screwdriver. Basically, you need like an eyeglasses-style screwdriver to unscrew the 18 screws they've put in to take all these batteries, put them in, change the thing out. And the thing that kills me, I think maybe it's just the parent point of view, like, all right, you say the batteries are dead in your toy. There's proof positive that there's a loose connection. It's not working. This thing takes 8 freaking batteries. And I have to replace all of them. And I know it's just one in here, right? Because I'm not going to take the time to test each battery. But I know I'm losing money on this. But there was a point where I actually felt bad. When the kids were real little, all of their toys took batteries and all of them spoke. And maybe it is just me, but toys that speak to you, especially when they have a limited vocabulary, it's going to say the same 3 things. It makes me crazy. They actually make me angry.
Right.
But
right,
with
right.
kids, you got to keep it together because I would look ridiculous to freak out and smash like their little plastic telephone with a sledgehammer. You can think it, but you can't do it. But there was a day, it was the first day I felt truly, truly that I might be an awful parent because between 2 of my kids, I realized none of the toys that they could play with had batteries. Not
I was,
one of them.
I was, it was at a Sounders match. And I had two tickets on my phone.
To Paradise.
Now, I get down, and I used Uber fine, and I got downtown, but I didn't really look at the battery on my phone. So before I know it, I used a couple different things, and it was just everything was draining my battery down there based on where it was. I wasn't paying attention to my phone. I reach into my pocket, and my battery on my phone is completely dead. Now, this is problematic because my tickets are on this phone. So, like, and I'm supposed to also meet somebody down there, and he's going to go to the match with me. And not only can I not get a hold of him, not only can we not figure out where each other are located, but I don't have the tickets even if we do find each other.
Sure.
So, basically, I had to go to Elysian, and I had to plug my phone in. And it took about 15 minutes for my phone to charge up to the point where it was functional.
How many messages had you missed from this person?
About 3 or 4.
Right.
When I was able to screenshot my tickets, which helped a little bit, you know what I mean? I just
sent them to him?
Just got enough. No, I took just the pictures and, you know, put my phone on low battery
mode.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
And went in there and got a hold of him. And we were in but I didn't think we were going to be able to get into to the match.
Technology does not always make things convenient. There was a...
phone dying's a pain.
What was the... I can't remember the ship, but it was a Navy U.S. ship. Back in 2017, it hit another ship. There are some casualties. They go through all this investigation, and to the point of, like, battery shorting out, so now you don't have your tickets. Basically, this ship is cutting edge, and so the whole thing was designed with computer touchscreen. That's what went wrong. So now they're refitting this thing to go with your standard throttle and the rest of it.
By the way, if you're on the hold there for the random question, we just dropped everyone accidentally. 844-999. Oh, the reason we did ask, what happened when the batteries died? So the story goes, I guess if you're going to steal an electric car, you really should see this one coming. There is a 60-year-old woman. Her name is Kathy Sane, and she lives in Payson, Arizona. And on Sunday, she stole a Tesla from a parking lot outside of a Subway. Again, she's a 60-year-old named Kathy Sane. And apparently she's not. The car was reportedly stolen quickly, and the cops wound up in a high-speed chase with Kathy. A high-speed chase with a 60-year-old woman. And it ended when
the Tesla's batteries ran out of juice.
That is so anticlimactic.
The cops say, quote, spike strips were ineffective, but the vehicle ran out of electricity, so they were able to arrest Kathy. She was charged with theft, fleeing, criminal damage, aggravated driving under the influence, and failure to appear on two outstanding warrants. How does one who is 60 years old know how to hotwire a Tesla? How does that work? I would assume it's a key fob, right? Did someone leave the keys in the car?
I don't know. Was the car running?
I mean, how would you know if the car's running?
You can't hear it.
Right. I mean, how do you do that? They just look so futuristic that I wouldn't think you'd be able to just...
I'm shocked you could even steal one.
That's what I'm saying.
I am, too.
Because they just came out with a top 10 list of the most stolen cars in the United States. Obviously, by the numbers, Tesla's not going to have that kind of prominence in there. But if someone wants to steal a certain model of car, they just do it.
I'm guessing maybe she... I don't know. I have no idea.
Maybe it was running.
By the way, talking about batteries, and again, we go back to your world of smoke detectors, Miles. Comment comes in. It says, as a firefighter, I go on smoke detector alarms. Same deal. We went out, thought it was a dead battery in one of them. One of the 11 detectors, two of which needed a ladder to get to. After an entire pack of batteries, we found it was a CO detector, which we didn't have batteries for.
Random.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Ken, welcome to the program. Random question. Question, this one's just for you. Good or bad, what would you say, Ken, is a little bit different from others about your body? Whether it's internal, whether it's external, what is different about your body than other places or other people?
I have a righteous Weird Al tattoo on my shoulder commemorating his wonderful movie UHF.
You have a Weird Al Yankovic tattoo on your shoulder.
But specifically for the movie UHF, that's when it gets weird.
I didn't even know he had a movie.
Well, you haven't met him. Tell Ted about
that. It's got Fran Drescher, it's got Michael Richards, it's got Getty Watanabe, Billy Barty. I mean, it's
star-studded.
Now, did you see him when he came on tour?
He's coming up on Saturday. I'm doing meet and greet for the second time.
Oh, you are? And let me ask you. So you buy the VIP and you get up there, and how much time do you get to spend with Al? Do you get a chance to ask a question or anything like that?
Yeah. So you have your whatever merch you have that you want him to sign there. And
hello.
Sit there and BS with him.
Okay, let me ask you this. When you introduce yourself to someone and you have, basically, I'm assuming their face tattooed on their body for the one thing they don't talk about, what is their reaction?
This will be the first time that he sees the tattoo. It it doesn't have his name, or it doesn't have his face. It does have his autograph from the first meet and greet that I did with him where he signed something and then they... we're able to take that and capture it and incorporate it into this logo thing that I got going on.
Then how do you top that? I mean, if you get something else, I feel like essentially you have him signed on your body. What piece of memorabilia could you have him sign that's going to top that?
Yeah, it's hard to beat. there is one person that went way further than I did. He's a rather large gentleman. I saw a photo online. So this is back when he was doing his sort of, it's all about the Pentiums, sort of gangster thing, and so this guy had his entire back tattoo of Weird Al done like all gangstered out.
And one thing people don't know about Weird Al, first of all, he's an amazing musician. Second of all, his band is like a studio band.
Right.
I mean, those guys are really tight. And when they went on tour, they would do a song regionally or somehow...
Affiliated with a city?
For their encore. So like if they were in New Jersey and he was playing a club, he might do Living on a Prayer. Or might do a Springsteen song.
Okay.
If he's in Boston, he might do Aerosmith or whatever the deal
is. Or Boston, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Or Boston, true.
I mean, it seems like you're in Boston. Mm-hmm.
Reason we ask good or bad, I'd say that was bad. What is different about your body? this is kind of an interesting story. In 2010, when scientists at Nome Incorporated were looking to study a remarkable human DNA, who in the world, like Neil deGrasse Tyson, or like who do you think, Steve Jobs, this is 2010, who do you think that they wanted to study for remarkable DNA?
I'm going to say it's a physical trait, because they want to study their brain when they're smart.
Are they alive or do they have to be dead?
They have to be alive to be studied, correct.
In 2010.
Keith Richards.
Keith Richards would be a good study.
How about The Rock?
The Rock? Okay. That wouldn't be bad.
Just physical-wise, he's a specimen.
But I think
he goes to the gym and takes steroids for movies,
right,
man.
Exactly. Like, this
all
is
right,
not
all right,
this
fair.
Is
not,
this he is puts not, in fair. The work, but...
How did John Cena get so big?
I just don't get it.
Me neither. If only it was a pill he could take.
What about like the dude who was struck by lightning 7 times and lived? Like to me, I would think that.
All right, say it one more time. What did they, how did they categorize it?
They categorize it, but they're looking to study a remarkable human being's DNA.
I would, nameless, but I would say a Sherpa, right? The guy, you're going to Mount Everest, and these little bony cats.
Wim Hof.
Wim Hof.
That guy, right.
Yeah, he like does Everest and stuff with no oxygen, and no shirt.
Okay, all right. Well, they went in a different route. The Cambridge, Massachusetts-based human genome company, they reached out to Ozzy Osbourne.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to know what genes had kept the rocker alive through decades of heavy drug and alcohol abuse. And their findings did not disappoint. They discovered a never-before-seen mutation that may explain Osbourne's ability to consume alcohol in great quantities and several genetic variations that predisposed him to drug and alcohol dependencies. Ozzy is indeed a genetic mutant. In the new book, Pleased to Meet Me, Genes, Germs, and the Curious Forces That Make Us Who We Are, he looks at the surprising ways that we're shaped by our DNA and biological factors that affect how our genes are expressed. So there's a gene variant for a sweet tooth.
Okay.
Multiple genes affect your enjoyment of coffee, and genes even govern our basic emotions, sexual attraction, and political tendencies. After all these years of thinking we are free agents, we've come to realize that most, if not all, of our behavior is not on our own volition. People who are politically liberal are likely to possess a variant of a certain gene, and scientists can predict someone's political affiliation with 72% accuracy by looking at a brain scan.
Oh, you got a blue baby, you got a red baby.
So conservatives tend to have a bigger amygdala?
Yeah. Hold on. We know that.
Amygdala? Whatever.
What? Amygdala?
Amygdala.
Oh.
Amygdala? Amygdala dollar?
Brain stuff. That part of my brain don't work.
It's the part of the brain activated in fearful situations, while liberals also have a larger anterior cingulate cortex.
I knew that.
Involving analyzing instinctive thoughts. So when it comes to everyday emotions, our genes program the brain chemicals, including serotonin, dopamine, that make us feel certain ways. You might, however magical they may feel, your emotions are purely biological in origin. So they say the reason for Scandinavian people are often singled out as the happiest people on Earth might not have anything to do with their lifestyle and everything about their genes. Researchers looked at the DNA of people from 30 countries and found that the Danes and Dutch had the fewest instances of carrying a serotonin receptor gene linked to depression.
Huh.
So they don't have it. Well, so many genetic factors, blah, blah, blah. Either way, they love the Ozzy Osbourne. They also say this, look, we should think differently about people and everything. People who commit violent crimes. Sullivan notes in a 2006 case where a man went on a rampage, shooting and killing his estranged wife's friend. He did all kinds of things with his wife's fingers and hacked her all up. He was spared the death penalty because he was found to have a mutation of a gene that is associated with male violence. Ironically, it's linked to happiness in women, honest to God.
Women happy.
Exactly. The thing that makes guys angry makes women incredibly happy.
They should call that the Olive Garden breadstick gene. Random. Hey, let's go to Olive Garden again tonight, gene.
I mean, there's got to be something in common.
Random. I don't know. That's good to know.
Maybe it's just the conversation about where to eat. Makes us pissed off.
And bring great
women are just secretly enjoying it.
That's it.
That's what they talk about in the bathroom.
That's right. That's what book club is. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
Justin, welcome to the show. Random question. Here's yours. Justin, what restaurant could you eat at for the rest of your life?
Oh.
Man, oh, man. It's a glowing endorsement for everywhere.
Oh, I don't like food.
Yeah, you know, I just went to Dave and Buster's, and they got a huge menu, so maybe I could go there.
Ah, you'd be entertained.
That's not a bad call. What kind of food did you try?
Oh, I had a platter of everything. I mean, chicken wings, hot wings, you know, and anything deep fried.
So you're a man who kind of wants a deep fried sampler platter / pub grub.
Right. Maybe a small wrap or something to...
He makes a solid point. I thought just about the food, but maybe you got to pick a restaurant like
Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake
doesn't have game. He's at Dave and Buster's. There's a whole game section.
Okay,
good point. But also the big menu. Cheesecake Factory again, which is not like some big endorsement of them, but it's like, look, you guys have a menu where I think it'd be hard to get bored of any particular food.
Reason we asked what restaurant could you eat at for the rest of your life? Imagine never paying for a bowl of cabotappi, five cheese marinara ever again, Mike Hawk. That is, in fact, a reality for 50 lucky Olive Garden fans.
Back to Olive Garden.
As the restaurant chain has announced plans to offer its very first lifetime pasta passes during this year's never-ending pasta pass promotion. Olive Garden, they say, has always been known for Italian generosity and making everyone feel like family.
Isn't that what you always say? One thing to Mike, and Mike goes to Olive Garden with some pretty regularity, and Mike always says, man, oh man, that is some friendly Italian hospitality.
Yeah, with the introduction of our new lifetime pasta pass, we're excited to be a big part of our fans' lives and memories for years to come. The Lifetime Pasta Passes, which are essentially exactly what they sound like, will entitle 50 lucky recipients to unlimited pasta, soup, salad,
me a bucket
and breadsticks for their entire life.
Put the pasta now, in the bucket.
So what can't they get?
So the passes will only be available to those fast enough to purchase the original never-ending pasta passes. Here's how it works.
Was this Willy Wonka?
August the 15th at 2, the original never-ending pasta passes will go on sale at pastapass.com for $100 a piece plus tax. And only for 30 minutes or until they're sold out. The first 50 to complete their transactions will be offered the opportunity to opt in for the lifetime pasta passes for an additional $400 plus tax.
Pay for the pasta pass.
Those
pasta
who opted pass. In for the lifetime pass will be notified if they qualify the following day, at which point they can finish their transactions and start scoping out real estate listings near their preferred Olive Garden location.
You can be picky with the pasta pass.
Yep. The recipients of the remaining 23,000 passes, meanwhile, will need to begrudgingly enjoy the 9 weeks of unlimited pasta they will get as well. But the lifetime pasta pass, yeah, you are good forever.
Perfect position for the pasta pass.
Random question 844-999. Ola, you are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Random question 844-999. Hola.
Random.
Hello, Edgar. Random, welcome random, to the Men's random, Room.
Random. Hola.
Hola.
All right, Edgar, welcome to the program. Random question. We're doing good. You out there driving?
Heck yeah, man.
All right, I'm going to give you this one. When would you say your driving was not so good?
Oh, man. Well, there's been a few instances of that. Are you guys familiar with the Ellensburg Rodeo?
The Ellensburg, this might shock you, I am not, but I can piece it together that it is, in fact, a rodeo, and I'm a guest, takes place in Ellensburg.
And what do you have to do? Just you wear Wrangler jeans and you can get in?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And there's a wonderful beer garden out back.
Nice.
And I decided to make a horrible decision one night leaving said beer garden. Got to my destination, and somebody was commenting on my car's quiet exhaust. And so I did a burnout right there. And that was probably the worst thing I've ever done driving, because I was in front of at least three or four police officers at the time. And, yeah, they weren't very happy with me doing a burnout in the main strip of Ellensburg on rodeo weekend.
Okay. And did you get pulled over and popped?
I actually was already parked. I didn't necessarily get popped. I got a stern talking to, and they really couldn't do anything with me as I'd already parked.
Okay.
And, other than the burnout, I was already out of my car, so, you know.
What else happened? You said there was a couple instances. Have you ever wrecked?
Okay, so I was actually telling this story earlier today. A buddy of mine who was a Marine had passed away, and we had a big service for him at the high school. I had a buddy that had a lot on his mind that day, so we went for a drive up in the woods, and we were driving through a clear cut, and I saw this little trail I could probably get my Jeep down over to this other road. So I'm cruising down, and we hit this little trail, and I get out there, and man, it was awesome. Drive around, come back. Next day, I call my buddy. We hop in my Jeep. I say, man, I got to show you this trail. We go out there again.
everything's fine and dandy. A week and a half later, a game warden showed up at my house. He was on the other side of the valley with some ungodly telescoping lens on a camera and had gotten like 6 or 7 pictures of my Jeep in the middle of a clear cut. And he said it took him a little while to figure out who I was, but he figured it out and he paid me a visit.
How much was the ticket?
It was another Stern talking to. I had a big warning to give to all of my comrades that were out, you know, gallivanting on private land and off of the main roads and trails.
This is crazy to me, all right? This is crazy to me. If I'm a cop, I get maybe for a traffic violation. And most cops I've talked to said, look, assuming that your traffic violation is not above and beyond, we kind of make a judgment call based on how you're acting, all right? But I feel like if I'm a cop who tracked down your license plate number and then drove to your home, you're getting a ticket.
Reason we asked, when was your driving not so good? Police said a woman claims her Jeep switched gears as she was entering it late Sunday, resulting in her vehicle crashing into a neighbor's house and causing a massive fire. Authorities were called to the Scottsdale Drive in Moon Township, Pennsylvania. Vehicle struck the house's gas meter, causing a gas leak before catching on the fire and spreading to the house. There's more. We go to Seattle. A car smashed through the glass wall of a fitness facility and crash landed into an indoor swimming pool Monday morning. Bizarre incident happened at LA Fitness on Aurora. Three people were swimming laps in the pool as the car plunged into the water and quickly sank to the bottom. None of the swimmers were struck, thankfully, or injured. One of them swam over to help the elderly male driver escape from the car. Investigation found the driver was turning in to park the car when he mistook the gas pedal instead of the brake. Mm-hmm. And some idiot in Greenville, South Carolina, caused what might be the most ironic car crash of the year this weekend. He was drunk Saturday when he didn't hit the brakes in time. 21-year-old Jedrick Freeman crashed into an auto shop called Brakes for Less. More of the random question coming up in seconds. 844-999-ORDA.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.